being really inspired by women who are speaking at this level, not because they've never failed, but because they persisted despite those failures. And I think that that's just a really beautiful witness to the reality that the struggle towards justice is going to be a bumpy one. And it's something that I want to keep in mind as I keep working.
This is a podcast called Walk, Talk, Listen. An attempt to connect people and make this world a bit better by sharing opinions and experiences based on the belief that everyone's perspective is true, albeit partial. My name is Maurice Bloem, and I would like to welcome you to yet another episode of Walk, Talk, Listen. Yes, good day, everybody. This is another episode of the podcast Walk, Talk, Listen. And, you know, we are live from New York, where we are participating and attending CSW 68. So this is, I don't know, episode number 7, 8. I have, again, a great and wonderful a guest and who will introduce herself. Jennifer, please go ahead.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jennifer Ebro. I am a Franciscan Mission Service volunteer, but here representing Franciscan International.
Okay. And Jennifer, is this the first time that you're attending the CSW?
Yes, my first time.
Okay. So what has been your impression so far?
It's been really beautiful. Hmm. It's been such a camaraderie of women that are so passionate about making the world better. Mm-hmm. And not only just making the world better, but accompanying one another and supporting one another in doing so. Mm-hmm. And that's been incredibly inspiring for me and a lot of food for thought as I come back as the conference ends.
Yeah. And have you been presenting or only attending events?
I've only been attending events.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, we are on Friday when we talk. And so 4 or 5 days, this is day 5, right? Although, you know, there were some pre-events as well. But so what, if you look back now, what has been, if I ask you, what has been the most significant event or the most significant person that you met? You know, that, oh, you know, I will not forget this. This is definitely something or somehow I will bring home.
Yeah, this morning I went to a session that was led by a development agency, mm-hmm. By a Nigerian American woman who brought together different ministers that are in Nigerian affairs in government. Mm-hmm. And one of the speakers was a woman who in the past has run multiple times for office in northwestern Nigeria. And if you know anything about this part of Nigeria, there's a lot of struggle for women and mm-hmm. for a lot of different reasons, for economic, for social, for cultural. And to hear her speak of her journey of constant disenfranchisement, of failure, and yet her drive. And I mean, she spoke loudly and clearly about we need to keep trying, even though we might not succeed. She hasn't been able to hold office, but she's still trying and still just trying to be a voice for women in her part of Nigeria. My family is Nigerian, so it was really spoke to me as well. But her drive and her desire to still encourage girls and women to still pursue things, even if we'll fail, even if it'll be difficult. It was really inspiring to hear.
Mm, yeah. And may I ask, were you born in Nigeria yourself, or you were born over here?
I was born here. I was born in D.C., but my parents came in the 90s. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that'll be a cool story to come back to and tell that you experienced that, right?
Yeah. I've already texted my family about it.
That's great. Okay. You know, actually, it's also alluded to, I think, if you go to the website of the CSW 68, that 2024 is really a significant year globally, election-wise. You live in the States, right?
So yes.
Elections are coming. I need to ask a neutral question. So is this also a significant election in the US that is coming up? So that's one part of the question. And then the second part is, are you participating or encouraging
participation in the electoral process? And why is this or why is this not important in terms of gender equality?
Yeah, it's been interesting. I recently moved into Washington, D.C., and it's a very politically sensitive area. I mean, everyone has an issue that they're interested in or a perspective to share. And it's not in just the conversations I've had with people, but also what I see in the city and the struggle and people desiring change. So I definitely think, from what I've experienced, not just being in D.C., but just growing up in the U.S., that the electoral process does have a very large impact on people's lives and people's sense of whether change is possible, especially individuals that are in marginalized situations who are often looking to people who are in positions of power to change the situations when they can't for themselves. So I definitely see a strong value, and I'm cautiously optimistic, I'd say, that we can achieve these changes through the electoral process. But I think, too, from what I've seen at CSW, is that it does go beyond politics as well, and it goes on just community-based participation and amplifying one another's voices. And then from there, stepping forward and speaking to representatives and saying, this is what we want to see, and this is how we want it to be done.
Okay. And are you actively involved in ensuring that people will go out and vote, or, you know?
Personally, no. Yeah. Personally, no. But I would say that I engage in a lot of conversations about it, and just am interested in picking people's brains about what it is to vote and what the impact is.
Okay. You know, the theme this year of CSW 68, the Commission on the Status of Women, is to emphasize accelerating gender equality by addressing poverty and enhancing financing with a gender perspective. So my question to you is, can you maybe share one key action or investment you believe is critical for making significant progress in your area of focus?
In my work, I work with immigrants and refugees in the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees in our small office in D.C.
Yeah.
And at least what I see from the perspective and experience of immigrants is just a lack of agency when you're in a sensitive situation of not lacking status or lacking citizenship in the country that you are. So I think that empowering through education and empowering through pathways to citizenship is a critical issue, and it's not often spoken about as a way to just enable people to actually have a voice in the countries that they are in.
You know, I'm really think it's great. It's, I don't know if it's more this year, but I've seen a lot of younger people participating. I think that's important and it's great. So how do you see the role of youth in advancing gender equality? And are you hopeful in that, in, you know, what you see, or do you have more worries?
I actually went to an interesting session on this yesterday, and it was particularly on the issue of climate change. And there was a young Indian activist who was speaking to the idea that often youth are seen as noisemakers and people that are constantly calling for innovation in ways that might be disruptive rather than productive. And she was really calling for a change in mindset, and that youth are not simply just disruptive voices, but they can be policymakers. They can be involved in these systems of reformation and revision that need to be happening, and not just in a way of saying, change this, I don't know how, but change it. But no, actually engaging the youth in how and why. So that's an opportunity that I see for the youth. And I think it will take a lot of systemic change to have that happen, because a lot of systems are entrenched in just kind of siloing youth to that perspective or that vision. But it does give me hope that she, as an activist, is acknowledging it, and I see it in my own experiences.
Can you give an example of that in your own experience? Of your own work, or
I keep it to the immigration issue as well, and in having witnessed protests and those kind of being a a very accessible way for youth to be involved mm-hmm. and letting their voices be heard, but not always seeing the communities in which those protests are happening actually responding mm-hmm. and saying, hey, like, come to our councils, come yeah. to our meetings and tell us what you want in a more formulaic or more effective way. So while protests are effective, but still wanting to see a bit more than that.
Okay. You're part of the Franciscan delegation, right?
Yes.
Cool. I would like to understand, how did you get involved there, and maybe come even further than that. What drives you in, you know, why you do what you do? What is the yeah?
Yeah. So as a Franciscan mission volunteer, mm-hmm. I engage in a year-long service program based in Washington D.C. Mm-hmm. And through affiliations and connections, got involved with Franciscan International, and they had a delegation coming here. And really, I think the idea of forming the delegation mm-hmm. was just to get Franciscan-minded people, and Franciscan meaning people who are followers of the way of St. Francis and his way of simplicity, mm-hmm. his way of accompaniment of those that are marginalized, mm-hmm. Those that are suffering, and enabling their voices to be heard in the different ministries that we do, but also in coming here, listening to how other people from lots of other perspectives are also acknowledging these issues. Mm-hmm. So for what drives me, I think it is that Franciscan spirituality yeah. of accompaniment, of wanting to give witness to the experiences of those that are marginalized, whether it's the immigrant or the impoverished mother or whatever. It could be the same person mm-hmm. in both of those experiences, and just accompanying them and mm-hmm. hoping and working towards change.
And do you recall when that, you know, when you got inspired by Franciscus and you know, in the way he walked his path?
Yeah, I think coming from the Catholic tradition, I was somewhat aware of his mm-hmm. his spirituality and his perspective, his worldview, or his way of living Christianity. Mm-hmm. But I think really since starting the program, I've been able to dive a bit deeper and actually mm-hmm. live it out in different mm-hmm. ways and in the way our community operates and the work that we do. So yeah, I'd say that it's really kicked off since starting this year with Franciscan Mission Service.
You know, music is very dear to my heart, so I always have a question about music as well. Yeah, if I ask you to come up with a piece of music or a song that inspires you or reflects your journey in gender equality, which song or piece of music would that be and why?
Yeah, the song that comes to mind, and it's going to probably seem very random, but it's Los Caminos de la Vida. Mm. And I'm not sure the original singer, but it's a song in Spanish, like the walks of life, mm-hmm. basically. And part of the song is like, I would describe it as a tribute to the singer or the voice's mother, and saying that in the walks of life, there's so much I wish I could give back to you. There's so much I wish I could do for you. Mm. And really in my work of service and my walk of faith, it's really been a desire to give back to those who have really given me, whether that's faith or like literal nutrition or everything, that like mm-hmm. really this sense of dependence and communal dependence and interdependence that we all have with these, whether they're elders, whether they're just peers, whether they're the person we encounter in the street, but mm-hmm. this mutual necessity to relate with others. And I really see that in that song. So Los Caminos de la Vida is a beautiful song for me, and it's really inspired me.
Yeah, I don't know the song, but I will check that out. Yeah, Jennifer, what I hope this little podcast will contribute to as well is connecting people. So, you know, you connected to my listeners, you're connecting to each other. But I also would like to connect you to, you know, my previous guests actually, or two women who work for an organization called World Renew. And I think both of them have a question for you, if I recall as well. So let's see, let's hear this.
Okay, Actually, if that person is coming to the CWS event and you will be podcasting, then I'd really looking forward to know that how that person really got it and what that person is taking away from these all these events and how they will he or she will implement that and make the change. So
okay, great. You want to ask a question or?
Well, yes. So my question would also be kind of similar, but I would like to know what inspired them about. We have seen a lot of different events and different speakers, different organizations. So I would really like to know what about that inspired them, what they are also taking away from it for their own work, because it's typically very niche, but there's so much to see and learn here. So what about that inspired them and that they will take home?
So basically it's about, your inspiration, how you take that back into your work, right? So,
Yeah, I think both of the questions are pretty similar. Mm-hmm. I think it goes back to probably my first answer of, less fear of failure. Being really inspired by women who are speaking at this level, not because they've never failed, but because they persisted despite those failures. And I think that that's just a really beautiful witness to the reality that the struggle towards justice is going to be a bumpy one. And it's something that I want to keep in mind as I keep working.
Okay. Thank you. Your question, the next guest.
My question for this guest would be, is there anything that you saw in CSW is there anything that you didn't see that you wish you saw in CSW, whether that's an issue or a type of session or just a general idea that you wish was discussed but wasn't, and how would you talk about it?
Great, thank you. I hope I did this all correct.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, normally I speak for around an hour with my guests. We are doing during this week it goes shorter, but I'm kind of cheating and came up with rapid fire questions so that I still can have some quick and nice answers from my guests. So we will go through that, and then at the end you are allowed to get back to one of those questions to give more context, maybe, or clarify. I said no, but actually I mean yes, no, but yeah. Okay, the first question is, if I ask you in one word, what do you think is the biggest barrier to gender equality globally?
Violence.
A yes or no question. Can technology significantly accelerate gender equality?
Oh, my immediate answer is no.
Okay. Who is one person that has significantly influenced your approach to gender equality?
Oh, these are hard. Wangari Maathai.
What's one book you recommend everyone reads to understand gender equality better?
I'm not sure. There's Go Set a Watchman. It's by Harper Lee.
Okay. In three words, how do you envision the future of gender equality?
Inclusive, non-Western, peaceful.
If you could change one thing about the world today to advance gender equality, what would it be?
Hierarchy in church spaces.
What message would you send to your future self, let's say 5 years from now, regarding your work in gender equality?
I'd say keep working from within as opposed to outside in.
Yeah. Any question you would like to get back to?
I was thinking about the technology one. I was kind of struggling and I was like, why did I immediately say no? I think it comes from being in like a highly technical society right now in the US and seeing it almost deepen divides in a lot of ways, whether they're gender divides, political divides, social divides, and being just very skeptical of how advancements of technology in other places will lead to more equality when I don't really see it in my own communities. So I'd still say no.
Okay. We almost are at the end of our conversation. But before we, you know, I thank you for your willingness to talk with me. Is there one question that I should have asked, but I did not ask you today?
One interesting question that some people have brought up is what is the place of men in these discussions? And I don't think I have a clear answer, but I do think I've appreciated the presence of men in the different sessions and their perspectives or their echoing of things that women have been describing. And in a lot of ways, humility I've seen as well in ways that I haven't seen in different circumstances. So, kind of what is the place of men?
Okay. And you kind of answered it as well. So thank you for that. Thank you so much for your willingness to talk. And it was great. Many of my guests, they sent the questions in advance and they can prepare themselves a bit. You had to do it on the spot. So, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Are you staying, you know, until next week or today's the last day?
My last day, yeah.
Okay, Okay, then... I would say, safe travels back.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me, and it's been a great conversation.
Yeah, no, thank you. For listening to Walk, Talk, Listen. Please check us out on 100mile.org or follow us on Facebook or Instagram.